kids from a neighborhood. Take me back to 96. I fall asleep with the radio on. Turn my pillow to the fresh side. I fall asleep, oh sleepy eye. I don't dream big, just the right size. Modesty comes from mom's side. You ever heard of a soft touch? You ever heard of a finger roll? Little sun, little raindrop. And you watch this thing grow. Follow me like a firefly. At midnight in mid-July. Mixing blood and sweat and tears of joy. That's what I call the rally cry. Relentless.
Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, give us a call, 204-269-8636. That is 204-269-UMFM.
Oh, these guys were in town this week. I know. Hey, you guys went to that show, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. It was
Arkell's in town.
Pre-Valentine's date night, so we saw Lord Huron, and that's kind of who we went to see.
All right.
We
were fans of Lord Huron. Didn't stay for the big show?
Stayed for about half of our Kells. So then we figured out we're old and we can't stay up that late anymore.
Okay, that's fair.
Kids are, you know, in-laws were at the house looking after the kids, so we figured we better take over. So.
Song Relentless, which kind of speaks to the two guests we have here today. Should have had a third guest. I don't know where she is, but we'll talk about her in a second, even though she's not here. Relentless from the Arkells, one of their new songs off Rally Cry. If you're looking for that song anywhere, it's out on YouTube as I kill that in terms of getting that out of the way. Welcome to the Hockey Show, everybody, here on 101.5 UMFM. Happy to have two of, I'm going to say, the greatest hockey players in the history of the sport. Well, based on everything I found about them, probably.
Gretzky numbers.
Gretzky numbers might be a little bit inflated, but I'm going to say they, season for season, they could go shot for shot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not bad that way, so. I want to welcome in to my right, hidden behind the monitors, Chris Kirkup, who has been here a number of times, and we always pleased to have her back, because she's awesome. And for the very first time in the history of her being at this campus, want to welcome in Lauren Keane to the show. Lauren, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us tonight in terms of making it here before you graduate and leave. looking at everything, we know a little bit about Carissa. She's been on here a bunch of times, but we'll sort of update everybody as to what's going on.
I was just
going to
say, Carissa's kind of like the Columbus, but knows hockey.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
She's here enough to fill in, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, it's a compliment.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's not a bad thing. That's for sure. So Carissa, for those who don't know her, is graduating this year along with Lauren, one of the two graduating of the eight that are leaving this school for bigger and better and brighter lights, hopefully. Carissa finished her season this year with a very good total, 6-10, I believe, for this season. But career-wise, 17 goals, 31 assists, 48 points in 80 games. Not sure if you were aware of those numbers.
No, I was not.
Okay. you also did have a short stint in the NCAA, so spent some time down in Maine and Duluth, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was that's good as well. Last time you were here, we found out what you're going to be doing next. How's the teaching going?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, it's
loving
been awesome.
It?
Yeah. I completed my first practicum.
Yeah.
And yeah, placed at the same practicum this semester.
Oh, look at you. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, having a great time in class and meeting lots of people and making connections. So, no, it's been awesome. Yeah.
If you're looking for her on the ice, number 41, any significant meaning to your number, Carissa? Does that...
Not really, actually. No. I have been 11 growing up.
Yeah.
And one day I offered Ozzy a couple $100. She wouldn't take it to get me number 11.
Oh, Cortland.
Yeah, so she said no, so whatever. And no, I just wanted something different, honestly. Yeah.
All right, no worries. I don't know if you're aware of this, but graduating, you're part of the third fastest pairing to record goals to start a period when you scored 36 seconds into the third against Regina before Jordy Zacharias made it 2-0 16 seconds later. That happened January 7th, 2017.
Oh.
Okay. So you still hold one record in the record books, at least. So
interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There you go.
Thanks.
As we turn our attention to the woman who's never been here before, and so we're going to go through, like, every detail since she was born.
Sounds good.
Feel free to jump in if you want, Carissa, because you probably know more about Lauren than we do. So in saying that, let's start with I was looking for all sorts of fun stuff today.
Can't wait.
According to 17-year-old Lauren.
Oh, dear.
Your favorite subjects in school are math and English. True or false?
True.
Okay.
And are they still?
Still that way?
Definitely not.
No.
Okay.
I took calculus in university.
That killed it?
The math drastically changed things. Yeah.
All right. That's fair. That was same thing for me, so was not a fan of that class. Most people don't know this, but you've been to Charlottetown already.
I have been, yep.
In 2012, you went as a member of the Pembina Valley Hawks, where you decided to win the SO Cup.
Yeah. Yep, just decided to do that. Yeah.
So you're gonna we're hoping you're gonna go back and get more gold, but obviously you've got a good lead in there to start with that. But let's get to the important stuff that you did while you were around this school. Member of the All Rookie Team in Canada West in 2015. Won the Canada West scoring title in 2016-2017 while being named the most outstanding player. You did that whole U Sports National Championship thing where you kind of scored the game winning goal in the gold medal game, and then were named the tournament MVP. Thanks to those efforts, not many people may know this, but your stick was enshrined at the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, which is that's super cool that we got a Hall of Famer here. You were selected for the 2017 U Sports All-Star team at the Hockey Canada Summer Showcase, but you opted not to go. What was the decision behind that?
I had that summer I had moved to BC for a summer job.
Okay.
And I kind of heard about the news a little bit late in the planning process, and it was kind of had to make the decision in a matter of about 3 days, and I opted out of it. Looking back on it, maybe would have wished I would have tried to make the effort to get the time off work and travel, but yeah.
I'll say 2016-2017 was pretty awesome already, so you're all right. You had mentioned in your recruiting information that there were other schools who came calling. You don't have to name names, but if you want to, feel free.
I think the biggest one that stuck out to me that I turned down was UND.
Okay.
Looking back, really glad I did that one.
Yeah, might be a good idea. Yeah.
Looked into Ohio and Maine a bit because they had some agriculture programs, but haven't looked back on this decision once. So,
according to you, I believe it was last year, you've reportedly worn number 23 since you were 7. Was there any significance? Are you a Michael Jordan fan? Is there?
No, basically... I think I was in novice hockey, and they brought the jerseys into the dressing room. They said, pick one, and I think I picked number 23, and never looked back on it.
In that same piece, according to you, your pump-up jam for getting ready for games is Joker and the Thief still true?
I think it varies now.
Yeah?
I don't have that one go-to tune.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you still get it off the beginning of the game anyway. I mean, you're blaring it over the PA.
Yeah, exactly.
So. According to your history, you were in track and field at Nellie McClung Collegiate. What was your best event?
I really enjoyed the 1500. Say I was a long distance runner before sprinter. Also now don't know why I enjoyed doing that. But
I was going to say, geez.
Well done.
But yeah, that was my event back in the day.
So correct me if I'm wrong here. Is it true that Lauren Keene is a Manitoba High School Athletics Association provincial champion?
That is correct, yes.
Do you remember? Well, I know you probably remember it for. In 2012, you happened to win a provincial championship in golf.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Team score was 290 with you, Miss Keene, turning in the low card of 91.
That is correct, yeah.
Are you still a good golfer today?
No, probably not as good as I was back then.
Okay, but, that's fair.
Yeah, when I go every now and then, I'm like to say I'm not terrible.
Okay,
yeah.
No, that's fair. Yeah. No, I'll give you that. You're probably better than us hacking around.
I can't hit a 91.
Yeah. I mean, I think I hit 91 on the first hole.
Yeah.
So, you're an ag food sciences grad in terms of getting out of here. You mentioned you already have a full-time job as a crop manager. Is that correct?
That's correct, yep.
Look at you. Just forget this whole taking the summer off. Like moving right into work.
Yeah.
So does that mean you're going to have to deal with Alana Sharman all summer then?
Alana Sirhan?
Or Sirhan, sorry, excuse me.
Yeah. She gets to deal with me all summer.
Oh, is it that way? Look at you.
Nah. She might come.
Actually, that's pretty awesome to be, if you're going to make her life difficult, because we know she made everybody's life difficult around here.
But. Nah, we might run into each other here.
Okay,
and there,
that's fair. So for you, and there's a lot of stuff on here. You finished your career with 38 goals, 66 assists for 104 points in 138 games played, which is a little incredible considering you, this is the first season, your final season, where you actually scored more than 9 goals.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So you never hit double digits before until this year, so congratulations on that. Yeah. You're still tied for the second fastest goal to start a game at 11 seconds, which happened on February 21st, 2016, in the 5 overtime game against Saskatchewan, where you guys won 2-1. You scored 11 seconds into that game. You tied Haley Wickenheiser for the second fastest goal in history. Huh.
Really?
Yes.
That's an interesting fact.
You're tied for 10th all-time with 66 assists. Do you know who with? One player for sure that's playing pro. You can say no because it's going to be tough.
Nope.
Ia Gavrilova and Julia Flinton are the two players you're tied with.
Okay.
Your 4th all-time in career games played at 138. Yeah. You missed 2 games in your career.
Yeah.
Do you remember what for?
I had the stomach flu. Couldn't travel. Very unfortunate,
Which was actually broken this year. Logan Boyd played every single game. So
I heard that.
Good for her. And your 18th all-time for points... Not that it's significant, but you were tied with Christy Lorenz from Alberta, who last played in 0-1-0-2.
Okay.
So there's your history of things you've done. Does it sound like a lot? Does it sound like you had a pretty good career?
Yeah, I think so.
Right on. Obviously, I mean, both of you can claim national champions in terms of being there last year. Do you guys realize that you set a record this year, both of you, as in terms of a team record? Do you know what record? It happened on January 26, 2019.
Is it wins?
No.
Goals for?
No. This was actually a 2-1 shootout win.
Shootout wins.
It was against Lethbridge. So you guys, as a team, Manitoba and Lethbridge, actually set the record for a non-playoff game for most shots by both teams. Manitoba had 57 that game. Lethbridge had 41. You're only behind your own record, which you set against the Alberta Pandas in the dozen overtime game that we had last year.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So not a bad way to go out. You guys hold the top 2 spots now. So congratulations on that.
Okay.
If you want, we can laugh about Alex. There's a couple of funny quotes in here, but about her.
I think we should.
Okay, done.
Yeah.
In 2014, when she was recruited, she told the Winnipeg Free Press, quote, that she quit hockey, actually, sorry, quote, because I was a really small kid and it was a bit too rough at the time.
Jeez.
In 2016, just to make that little bit of a crazy quote, in 2016, John Rempel told the Winnipeg Free Press about Alex, I didn't realize what a hard-nosed competitor she was. That surprised me the most, and we've actually had to dial that down a bit.
Funny how things change.
Yeah. That year, she had just about 50 penalty minutes, so might be a little bit much on that. Other than that, she scored both game-winning goals to eliminate the Pandas in 2016 in 3 games. She was a Winnipeg Women's High School Hockey League MVP award nominee in 2012. Finished with 12 goals, 36 assists, 48 points. So not bad for a kid. If you really want to know, 148 penalty minutes in 120 games. So she racked up a few of those, but she did well. So if you're listening out there, Alex, thanks for joining us and coming in and talking about your awesome career. In terms of bigger stuff, obviously season went well this year for you guys. What was the toughest part about this season? Obviously some people talk about championship hangover and that kind of stuff. What was the toughest part for you guys in terms of battling through this 28 game season?
I think, going through the summer, I think the hardest part for me leading up was trying to clear my mind of everything. Trying to get past the fact that, we have a new coach coming in. We were coming off a huge win, trying to come in with a fresh mind. I think the season's gone great all year. I don't think we've had a ton of challenges to overcome. But, I think, leading up to this season was a lot to think about. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I would say similar to
to what I would be thinking on that point. The toughest part, I don't know, it's always going back to playing BC and Alberta again for me, just because I know, like, going into the playoffs last year, you finally get over that hump of, okay, who are we playing? Okay, we're playing Sask in the finals. Okay, good. And then, right, it's only lasts a couple games, and then in September or in October again, you start at ground zero again, and then kind of have that whole journey, the whole rest of the season. So yeah, no, it's been a challenge again, but it's, yeah, it'll be interesting going to the playoffs again. So
for sure, yeah. Looking at playoffs, obviously number two in the conference, and certainly up there in terms of the final ranking, number three, I think it was overall. Mm-hmm. It looks like, if everything plays out the way it should, UBC will be here next weekend. Saw them not too long ago, two overtime games for you guys. Mm-hmm. What's the thought process going into that weekend? Are you guys, is that, I mean, again, it's tough to say, and I'm not going to try and put you on the spot, but is that what the preparation's for right now, UBC?
Yeah, I would say so. I think whether it's BC or anyone, we're going to try to obviously come in with a clear mind and play kind of Bison hockey that we're used to be playing all year. I would say that whoever we're playing, it's going to be tough games. Obviously, yeah, we're thinking UBC right now just because of the records from this past season against Regina and BC. But either way, it's going to be a tough round. UBC, yeah, it's going to be just from the last couple games that we played them. Obviously, it's a very even score. They're big and fast and have a good transition game. And I would say that, yeah, we have to come ready to battle and be prepped to kind of get her done in the first three periods instead of trying to take them to overtime, just because anything can kind of happen in those. So, yeah, it'll be a tough game just because, yeah, the overtime there.
Let's be honest. You guys win in overtime, doesn't matter. Like, as long as you play more than three overtimes, it's almost in
the
bag.
The cardio, yeah. No, but yeah, in that overtime and then, yeah, a shootout as well. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be tough, but we're excited, I would say. So,
yeah. Like to activate their defense. They like to play that backdoor play. Obviously, we saw two goals like that where they threw it to the back door on the power play.
Yeah.
And I got to ask, because Maggie rolled her eyes when I asked her and she walked away from me. So I was like, oh, that's not a good response. Are you guys changing? Are you going to stick with the diamond against them?
Well, I don't know the coaching strategy, but I think we can learn kind of from the goals that they scored against us on the power play. I think we can make some adjustments. You know, I don't think we've defended against a 1-3-1 very often this year, so we are maybe a little lost when it comes to that. But I think there's been some coaching points through video and stuff that we can pick up on.
Sure.
Know what to expect in terms of their power play. So, yeah, hopefully, A, stay out of the box, and two, if we are found on the power or on the penalty kill, just learn from the last couple weekends. So,
I thought you guys, in terms of the diamond, made one. There was one small adjustment that had to be made, but I thought you guys played fairly well on it, mm-hmm. considering that you kind of threw it in there in the middle of a week and ran with it. So,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, aside from that small adjustment of having whoever's on the weak side crash down towards the net and take away that backdoor pass, I thought you guys played fairly well on it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's tough to say just because, right, there's that bumper player in the middle, right? So
yes,
then you
yeah.
kind of have to take that girl away, like, on the defensive side there. So we've definitely gone over it, and everyone just kind of has to be aware, head on a swivel, and yeah, we'll get her done.
Looking at obviously last year, you guys came in and had a tough first series and had the bye last year and got to sort of take out your arch nemesis in Alberta, but lost the first game, had to win the next two. It's not like you guys haven't been sort of in this sort of hot seat before. Does the experience help you guys? Can you go back and go, look at, we were down last year, or we started against a very good team last year, was coming in on a high. We can do this. Does that help?
I'd say so for sure. You know, I think just the experience of the group that we have, we've gone through a lot of ups and downs, and I think we know how to handle our emotions in situations like that. Obviously, losing game one, there's a lot to think about going into game two. But I think we all handled it pretty professionally last year, and I think, you know, we still have that same core group for the most part, that if worst case scenario that happens again, we could battle through it. So
Yeah, I would say a very similar thing, right? Because we, if you look at the past 5 years or even 4 years of this program, right, the amount of times that we've made it to semis or finals and things kind of don't go your way, right? Obviously, that lead up into even last year obviously helped us, right? We have faced a lot of adversity and have overcome it. So that kind of gives us a little bit more confidence going into this playoff run that we're hoping to make here. And yeah, so it'll be another good one.
So looking at everything, obviously you two ended up on a line this year, started not together in terms of what happened, and third member of that line, Natesh Kostenko, you guys had a good season, great season in terms of just the way you guys played and the way you guys sort of came together. Getting Alana back at sort of mid-season there in terms of really sort of boosted another line in terms of having her added in. Overall, I mean, and this is a tough question, but overall, do you guys feel, again, you're the highest scoring team in the league, do you guys feel like you're the team to beat?
Oh, that's a good question, Peeps. You know, I think in comparison to looking at our depth in our core group of forwards, if you're just talking about scoring and things like that,
yeah.
Yes, I would say that we're one of the most deep teams in terms of scoring or in terms of at least players that can make plays and things like that. So, yeah, we are. I would consider us a threat in that area just because of our past in scoring this year and the amount of personal success that's gone on this team, as well as just our cohesiveness on and off the ice, too. You can't really ask for a better kind of mesh of girls. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, I think she summed it up pretty good there. you know, there's obviously, for us looking out, there's teams that we consider the team to beat.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But I think, yeah, you know, other teams in the league looking to us, I'm sure they say a lot of those things that KK just said about the depth of our team. And, yeah, so.
Going into the playoffs, obviously, target on your back is defending champions for Canada West, defending national champions. Does that pressure even creep in? Do you guys even think about that? Or is it just business as usual for you guys?
Yeah, personally, I don't really think about it at all. You know, you think about, you know, what you need to do to get things done this year. And, you know, you can use those experiences from the last year as learning experiences and to build off for momentum. But personally, I don't really make comparisons to last year. And I think that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what you need to do, is just take this year as a fresh slate. So that's kind of what I try to do, at least. But
Yeah, I would say it's very rare for a team to have so much success in 1 year and then come back again the next year and kind of find a new team identity, just in terms of obviously losing some key players and then adding a few new rookies and kind of trying to mesh them into the group of girls. So what we have is very unique, I think. And I'm very proud of our team on and off the ice. We've definitely bonded a lot as a team, as a group of girls. Obviously there's a ton of leadership on this team in terms of lots of older girls, but of course all the younger girls coming up. It's just a lot of great people in our dressing room. So in terms of the target on our back, I would say, yeah, obviously it's there. But I would say that, no, we don't really think about it. We reminisce about last year a little bit, but when it comes to game time, we're focusing on the present moment. We didn't come this far again this year just to come this far, right? We're looking to make another good run here. So,
no, that's fair. I mean, knock on wood, everybody's hoping for it. So let's keep that rolling. Got to ask you, you made the mention earlier, Lauren, about changes on the bench. What's life like with Sean back there? I'm only going to ask. I'm not putting you on the spot to, yeah, he's great, he's terrible, anything like that. But his coaching style is a little different than John's, and certainly he's a little bit more, I'm going to say, offensively minded than what John was. But looking at it, how's it been in terms of being two offensively minded players? How has it been with Sean on the bench?
Yeah, you know, I can't say I have any complaints. There's obviously, you make comparisons,
sure,
from John to Sean, and you know there's differences, there's similarities. You know, I think one big difference I've noticed is just kind of the camaraderie is a little more light around him. You know, you can joke and have fun around him, which I think really helps with a lot of different aspects, just being able to not feel like it's always business when you're around the coach. obviously, respect him and have a lot of respect for him. But, yeah, you know, I like that we can joke around and have fun like that. And, yeah, you know, it's just been great having the offensive mind that he is. You know, lots of opportunities for you know, offensive players like we are. So, yeah, I have nothing but good things to say, so.
Again, I wasn't asking. I don't want you to say anything bad just in case he's listening, but.
Yeah, we need to get some ice time.
I'm just kidding. Anything you've noticed?
Sean's been awesome. Yeah, obviously it is a change. Like, it's just a fresh face, right? Just because John's been the face of the program, right, for the last 14 years, I think. So just kind of a fresh face, a fresh voice coming in has been, it's been positive, I would say, all around. He, yeah, just kind of like Keener said, he is able to joke around, and it's awesome. He'll kind of come in, listen to some of our conversations that are going on and have a laugh before he kind of gets down to business. And I've been impressed with him since he kind of joined at the start of the season. He's been extremely organized, and you can't really tell I know it's his rookie season as a head coach, right?
Sure,
but,
yeah.
But you can't really tell that. You can tell he has the experience of organizing in terms of, I know at some schools, the head coach is the head coach, but here he's doing some laundry, he's sharpening your skates, he's doing a ton of stuff, right? So you can tell he's dedicated, he wants to be here, and yeah, it's been awesome. Yeah, I've been very grateful, and I think our group is very grateful to have him. Yeah, he's been awesome. So
I noticed, and I mean, this is just from my vantage point, I'm not on the bench, but I'm certainly down next to you guys in terms of what's going on. Far more smiles than what John ever did. Like, don't get me wrong, John's a fantastic coach and knows the game inside and out, but John's steely glare every once in a while, he looks at you and you're just like, are you thinking about killing me? Did I say something that you heard and you didn't like? Am I going to die here? So, I mean, again, I'm not making fun of John. I think John's fantastic and I think Sean's fantastic, but I mean, yeah, no, just a few more. I find there's a lot more sort of a looser, and again, I don't know if this is true, but maybe a bit of a looser atmosphere on the bench than John's business 100% of the time, and once we're done, sort of thing.
Yep, I can agree to that. I think sometimes he's had to jump in and tell us to tone it down a bit because we're having too much fun. yeah, but I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I don't know if that would be a bad thing either. We are through half an hour. Just going to take a quick break here for about 15 seconds. As we play Legal ID, we'll be back on the other side. We're going to get these two into some bigger opinions now on things in hockey as we get things going on the hockey show. Beans, you're more than welcome to jump in. And
thank you.
I mean, you're sitting there staring at me, so.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
I know you're just doing a good listening. Job of that. We'll be back, though, in 15 seconds here after the Legal ID on 101.5 UMFM.
If the right sphere of the brain controls the left side of the body, and the left sphere of the brain controls the right side of the body, does this mean only left-handed people are in their right minds?
UMFM 101.5. Listened to by left and right-handed people.
Are there other-handed people that listen?
Ambidextrous?
I guess, but they'd have both.
I guess.
Back here on the Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM. Ladies, let's get the fun going here. Your thoughts, because it's going to be important, and certainly people have asked me about it. I got quizzed about it all weekend when I was at the Female World Sports School Challenge. Your thoughts on Kendall Coyne and her involvement in the skills competition. Should this be a regular thing? Is this good in terms of exposure for the game? And my answer to that, because I already know the answer you guys are going to give, is yes. But I want to know how you think
how you think
it grows the game.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure any exposure to the game is good. But
I think women's hockey has come a long way in terms of exposure in the last couple years. I know CWHL has been around for a few years, but just in terms of bringing in that NWHL, the game is growing a ton. I'm just making a comparison. Like when I was growing up, me and one other girl that would be on the guys' team, novice Adam Peewee. And then I played 4 years at midget, so that was all girls' team. But now I'm seeing just whole teams of girls and like whole leagues of just strictly girls teams. So it's I don't know obviously, how, like, if that's just in Winnipeg, but I know that happens in other parts of the province as well. So I think it's awesome for the game. Yeah, Kendall Coyne is very fast. It was awesome to see that. And
yes.
Even just to beat, I forget his name, but even just to
Clayton Keller.
Finish seventh there, I think.
Yeah,
she's very quick. She played in the Hockey East League when I was in Maine as well. So it's pretty cool to kind of see that connection there. I think it's great for the exposure. I think it is hard to tell because you want girls to be exposed in that the number of eyes that are watching that specific skills competition, but as well it's men's hockey and women's hockey, right? So you kind of want to draw eyes and hopefully use her speed and all the attention that got and bring it over to the women's game and hopefully get more fans at those games. Just like personally, right? If you're kind of graduating and looking to continue to play the game of hockey, right? It's okay, so I'm looking at going to the NWHL possibly. Okay, well, I'm looking at, first of all, moving to the States. That's kind of a whole thing in itself in terms of money and whatnot, depending on who you are. But as well, it's, you're getting paid, like, the top players are getting paid like maybe 10 grand a year, and the average is like 2 grand a year. So it's not feasible at all. So it's I think every bit of exposure that we can get to the women's game is huge, just because it, practicality reasons, right? For players like us coming out of CIS or NCAA, it's you need to have a full-time job along with that, and being an athlete and student athlete is a full-time job in itself. So obviously I think it's awesome, and yeah, she's fast, so. Yeah.
Lauren, come on, weigh in. Here we go. Let's get this going.
I think I'll touch and just kind of build off a couple points that KK made. Coming from a small town, you know, my town had 800 kids or 800 people, so it was obviously expected that you're going to play boys hockey growing up, which I don't regret at all looking back. But I think, you know, if this can help bring more exposure to smaller girls, you know, just kind of motivate them and interest them in the game. So, you know, we can maybe get some all-girls teams at the younger ages. Build that up. And also, just on the money aspect of what the NWHL and CWHL girls make, a lot of girls have come up to me, or a lot of people just in general have asked me now what my plans are for next year and if I would ever consider going pro. And I think the biggest limiting factor is the fact that I have a full-time job that pays significantly better than what I would make playing hockey. And as much as I would love to pursue a dream of playing hockey, the numbers just don't add up. Like, it doesn't make sense for me to go on playing a game and making $10,000 or going on to a full-time job and making way more than that. So, yeah, I think those are the two biggest things that I think need to be addressed, or kind of just, you know, if this bringing girls into skills comps can kind of help build that, I think that's just great for the game and great for women in the sport. So, yeah.
Tossing beats, you got anything to add?
Everybody pretty much wrapped it up with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the more exposure you get, the more chances you're going to get, the more, you know, if it comes to sponsorship or whatever else it needs to be so that women can start getting, you know, equal pay in the game would be great, you know. But we're also forgetting, was it Hillary Knight also that did it, or was it Brianna Decker?
Decker was the one who did the demonstration for the pass.
She also like competed very closely with all the guys. So it's like, it's not just like we're talking about Kendall, right?
She got the TV time.
Yeah, she got the TV time. But there's so many other things that the girls, the women, they're just
right. No, I'm not taking anything away from Renata Fast and Rebecca Johnson, who were there as well.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of she got the TV time.
Yeah, she got the TV time. Yeah. But I mean, the thing is, if they could give these other girls the TV time at the same time, more exposure. Right?
You would think that would be the wise thing to do. Yeah.
Otherwise, so, I mean, I know the NHL made the decision not to, and
that's
maybe not the best decision, I think. So.
Well, and again, I'm not. I don't want to play devil's advocate here, but NHL is there to promote NHL stuff, not everybody else's stuff. And that's, I think, the catch right now is that, yeah, it would be great to have them in and part of that. I eventually, and this is down the road, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but when they finally figure out and put one league together, and they finally get everything together, and the NHL is sort of brought on as that overseeing sort of factor who has all the money and can spend the money and can make things better, I see it to be more like the KHL All-Star Weekend, where they feature not only the men, but the women's All-Star game at the same time.
Yeah.
So you get like a Friday night or whatever it's going to be, a Saturday night skills competition with everybody involved. And then you get the two All-Star games on the or even combine the teams and make it a co-ed All-Star game. Because, I mean, really, there's no hitting. There's no fighting. There's no stupidity.
It's just based on skill.
99% of the All-Star game is speed and skill. So why not make it one and have fun with it? But that's just me.
You don't make the rules, I guess.
I don't have any call on that, no, unfortunately.
Shoot.
Unfortunately, I don't. But knock on wood, that's what we may see in the future. Both of you may have heard. I don't know if either of you heard, but there is a small team of 11- and 12-year-old young ladies who currently are one of the 10 finalists for the Chevrolet Good Deeds Cup.
Yes, yes.
The Assiniboine Park Polar Bears are hoping that they're one of the three finalists so they can raise a little bit more money. But their money is going to benefit Silo Mission, which you guys constantly are working towards helping, because most of your charity stuff over the Christmas break, you guys do a lot of stuff there. $100,000 if they win, which is fantastic, and that money will go so far with that. From your experiences, though, should more people really be looking? I mean, again, they just talked about they're expanding and they're doing all this great stuff and they're making things better. But from the work you guys have done there, is that sort of the place that you guys like helping out the most? Or is there another place? Are there other places not the most, I guess that's the wrong way to say it, but in terms of just, you know, lending your hands and your abilities there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think just the past, 4 years, that I've been on the athletic council at U of M here, it's, every Christmas we go to Silo Mission and try to send as many Bison support or Bison athletes to help out, whether that's sorting clothing or serving the people there a meal or things like that. So, we love helping out Silo Mission or kind of any community service. And anytime we can kind of give back to the community that comes and is willing to support us, that's huge for the game. I think, as a hockey player, you kind of want to, you're learning obviously very, very valuable life lessons along the way. And I think coming out of this and coming out the amount of people that volunteer and things like that, coming out as a overall better person is kind of the overall goal, instead of, okay, I got better at my slap shot. Okay, that's fine. That's good. But that's not going to help me overall. So I'm just saying that, if the more we can volunteer and give back, it's been great. So I'm very, I heard about the Good Deeds Cup finalists there the other day. So that's, makes me really proud of young Winnipeg female hockey anyways.
Yeah. They're the only female team that's in the finalists. The names of who will make it will be released on February 16th as to who the top three finalists are. They were on social media posting hard to get people to watch that video. So let's knock on wood. Hopefully some of my park polar bears get that in.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren, you've been there volunteering.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Yeah. Looking back on all the volunteering that we've had opportunities to do over the 5 years that I've been here, I'd say hands down, going to Salome is one of the most rewarding experiences, especially over the Christmas break. Just this past week, I did Bison Book Buddies, and it was great, and you feel great after. But, during the holiday season, really seeing those who are in need and helping them out in just a little way, really makes you feel good about yourself. And, that's great to see that, there's other people taking that same initiative out there. So, that would be definitely help out Salome if that went through. So,
hopefully it will. $100,000 would be good. I do want to mention we're not going now, and I found out why, and I'll explain in a second. But speaking of good things and helping people out, we are happy to mention that next week, next Thursday, if you're in the area, the Morden Winkler Crystal City
around
area, there's a major, major fundraiser going on as the Montreal Canadiens alumni are visiting Crystal City, Janae Buchanan's hometown, ironically. Mm-hmm. they are going to be there to help. They're going to play a local team of players, which is awesome in terms of seeing a bunch of players come out there. But going to try and raise as much money as they can for minor hockey in the area, which is always something that we help to promote. We went to the game in Shiloh. We were told that we were invited this year, and then we found out there wasn't enough space for us. That there's not enough room in the rink to set us up. So
shoot,
we've been denied. Apparently the old barn is just big enough for the rink and away they and a Zamboni and away they go. So I mean, you've played there haven't you?
Yeah.
So what's it like in there, Lauren?
It's literally a barn. So when we first started out, they found out that they're coming. You know, we were all like, why don't they go to Pilot Mountain? Because they have this brand new rink with a lot of. But you know, they just wanted the hometown feel of, you know, that playing in a barn. And you know, Crystal City and Pilot Mountain, they're 5 minutes away from each other. But Crystal City's their own community. And yeah, it's pretty cool to see, you know, if they came to Manitou, we'd want to do the exact same thing. And it just, you know, if, you know, the money that they raise at Crystal City will just go to help out all of the Pembina Valley, which is everyone's so close and everyone helps out everyone. So it's pretty cool to see. And it's nice, you know, I know Janae's pretty excited about it. Her dad gets to play in the game against.
Oh, really?
Canadians. Yeah.
Right on.
So it's just cool to see the community kind of come together to put on an event like that and just be noticed when they're such a small town. But
Now I was talking with one of the organizers, Mark, who was outstanding in terms of getting him sort of everything organized and getting everything going. And he just said, and I feel bad because his offer was, we can put you in the area where the handicap, like where the wheelchair seats are, but we'll have to move you if anybody shows up in a wheelchair. Right. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound like there's a lot of room for us to move. Yeah. So he's like, no, don't worry about it. Like, we appreciate the help and we thank you for promoting it. And I was like, no, it's our pleasure to promote it. But if you're going to be down there, if you can get down there next Thursday, there's going to be a pile of Montreal Canadiens down there. Guys like Oleg Petrov, Matthew Dandonneau, Patrice Brisebois. There's a whole pile of them down there to get everything going and have a great game and have some fun. So here's hoping that they can raise a ton of money. I've asked Mark to keep me informed, so hopefully we'll be able to give an update in a couple of weeks as to how much money they raised and or just how successful it was. But let's hope that does extremely well, because the one in Shiloh that we went to with the Bruins alumni was so much fun. So hopefully that does well.
Well, we'll do our best to support that from a distance.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, we will. I'm talking about it next week as well. So I want to ask, and maybe you guys will be the best people to talk about this. I watched the game on TV, or I guess on Canada West TV. Did you guys notice a difference in the Pronghorns after Michelle was let go?
No.
That's a good question.
Because you guys were the first team they played.
Because that literally happened the Tuesday or Wednesday before.
Tuesday,
We played against them on the weekend. Did I notice a difference? Not specifically, no. Like, I think Anderson stood on her head again. Yeah. And, I didn't. To be honest, no.
She is going to break the record that Cassidy Hendricks set for no total minutes played. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I feel bad because she's literally, like, going to break the record for a number of losses in a career as well.
Yeah.
Like, she's outstanding, but I just don't know how you fix that team. Although, again, having gone to the Female World Sports School Challenge, they're going to have an incredible defender there next year in Brooklyn Palmer. So, FYI, whoever they're recruiting, it's getting better. So,
I think it was good for us. I think we knew we needed to play harder. You know, trying to picture yourself being in the position that those girls are in on that team. If that was you, how you would react? And I know personally for me, I'd be playing pretty hard after going through what they did, so to say. But I think at the same time, we can't speak for all of them. We don't know exactly how their experience was, how it wasn't.
I was just curious as to whether or not, like, they were looser on the bench or anything, like, if it was noticeable or
nothing noticeable. I would say I think they were playing hard for themselves that weekend. And they definitely played hard against us, which I think any team is going to. I think they played their game, we played our game, and it was a pretty good battle that weekend. So
it certainly was. Yes, they took you guys to overtime and then the shootout there. So that was not seems to be common with you guys in Lethbridge. They'll shoot out at least one of the two games anyway.
Not just Lethbridge.
Well, listen. Listen, I'm trying to be positive here. Looking at Tuesday night's game, did you happen to watch the Canada-US tilt on Tuesday?
Just the highlights.
No.
There wasn't many of those.
No, there wasn't. It was short, but...
they play again tonight. I'm going to sort of go off the cuff here and say I'm kind of tired of this. I'm kind of tired of the Canada-US games every 3 months or every 6 months. Like, I get the reason for them, and I get they're preparing for the World Championships, and I get that they're doing... And you can't fly all those women over to Europe and play over in Europe against Sweden and Russia and whoever else. Like, I understand the reasons for it. But I'm just tired of seeing it. Like, it's the same rhetoric every single time on TV about, oh, these two hated rivals. Yeah, we get it.
It's not so much the game you hate. It's
no, the game is fine. The game is fun. Still.
It's the everything surrounding.
Right. I don't care about. And again, I know people brought this up on social media. I really don't care about the football tie-in that they brought up the other night as well. Like, I get it that there's women married to football players. Kendall Coyne is married to a football player. The assistant coach for Canada married to a football player. It has no effect on the game and has nothing to do with them. Like, I don't understand why. And again, maybe I'm way off base here, but I don't understand why Rod Black has to bring that stuff up. Like, are you trying to draw in people that aren't watching? Because if they're not watching, do they care?
Yeah.
It's a tough question. Why do they do it? I mean...
But this is the thing. And I get, like, you can mention, like, there are relationships. There are, you know, again, Amanda Kessel played. Her brother plays in the NHL. Yay for everybody.
Yeah.
But that's been said since, like, 2006.
Yeah.
Like, stop. Like, I mean, we don't talk about Carissa's brother playing in Bemidji State when she's playing.
Well, maybe we should talk more about Carissa's brother.
But that's the thing, though. We're talking about Carissa. Good. Tyler is a good player. He scored a goal a couple weeks, or a week ago, I think, now, in
Friday,
terms of their last Friday night. Yeah. He is a good player, but we're talking about Carissa, not we're not talking about Tyler. And again, we talk about Tyler on this show, but we certainly don't.
The focus should be on the athletes that are
correct
present.
So, and it's starting to bother me because TSN consistently does this now.
Yeah, it's tough because I know the reporters are probably trying to make connections as to more like
the general sense.
You don't want to say, but more famous people like that, more people would make connections with, right?
I get that.
But yeah, it is tough. I don't know. I don't want to say it's dependent on the gender of the sport, but it's obviously, I'm sure, trying overall to promote and get more eyes and ears watching the games. But yeah, it's...
But it's not like they could turn around and go, Phil Kessel's sister plays for Team USA.
Yeah.
It's just about Phil Kessel when they talk about him, right?
No, I know. But it's been the same girls that they've been talking about for that long because it's been the same core group when I was growing up.
But then stop giving me the same facts about them.
Well, what else? Yeah, what else are you going to say, though, really?
Well, you could talk about her career at Minnesota, how she had some concussion problems. You could talk about a whole bunch of stuff with Amanda Kessel, but stop talking about her brother.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's those big, the big stations, though, right? They're going to pick the most popular thing to talk about, and they're just going to
draw people.
Sure,
in.
And I get that.
Yeah, that's what
but that's not why I'm not tuning in for NHL facts. I'm tuning in to see the women play.
Well, we got to start our own brand here or something.
Exactly.
We try on this station.
Nobody,
we try on.
Nobody wants us.
Talk about how great these women are when they play, and we somewhat succeed, I guess, but. Now many people know about Lauren. Now a lot of people know about Carissa now. See? We'll probably end up talking about Lauren next week as well. That was awesome. Her first appearance ever. So. In saying that, I'm going to put you guys on the spot. Prediction for tonight's game. What's the score? Lacasse playing tonight, not Mashmeyer as well.
I'm going to say 3-1 for Canada.
Oh, bold. I like it, Lauren. I like it.
I'm going to go 2-1 U.S.
Chris is never coming on the show again.
I did not.
Well, just kidding. See, I'm just kidding. Okay, okay.
You know
just
what's going to really promote this game is if it's like an 8-7 game and just wide.
You just want to blow out?
Highlights, highlights, yeah. Highlights.
Like three on three for 60 minutes?
TSN's going to have a 20-minute segment on this because there's so many goals. That's what they're going to need to do.
That's
so,
true.
I mean, I think it should be a high game, but I mean, a typical U.S.-Canada game is very low scoring. So I'm actually going to say 1-0 Canada.
Oh, well done.
Just because that's the way it usually goes.
All right, then. That's okay with that. Yeah.
YouTubes?
You know what? I'm going to go 4-2 Canada.
Mm, high scoring.
I think there's going to be some changes tonight. Yes. So, yeah, some changes for both teams in terms of getting ready. So, going to ask you guys, we've got 7 minutes to go here. What do you do with Patrick Laine right now? Mm. You're both goal scorers, or at least you try to be. Lauren turned into goal scorer this year. what exactly do you do with Patrick Laine if you're Paul Maurice right now? Because, everybody said from trading him to putting him on the moose to sitting him in the press box to put him on the top line to stop moving him around to there's 100 different opinions out there. What, as players, what would you guys do if you found yourself in a scoring slump? How would you change that?
I don't think it comes down to a coaching decision. I think it comes down to Patrick Laine. I think it's a mental game now. And I think the more you change it up and switch him around, the more it gets into his head that he's not scoring. So personally, if it was me, I would like everything to try and stay the same. You know, pick something and go with it for a week or two and see how things pan out. You know, obviously it's dragging on here for a while. we are all hoping for a goal here, but I think it's a good learning aspect, you know, to learn that goals don't always come all the time, and to bear down in other areas of the game. But yeah, that's just my perspective of it. You know, you need to learn from your mistakes and you know, I don't think it comes down to benching him or something like that. I think it comes down to him trying to figure it out himself.
That's fair.
Yeah. Player perspective, I think if one thing's not going your way, like he's been a superstar since he joined the league, right? So he hasn't really faced a whole lot of adversity, I wouldn't say, as a young NHLer. So I would say pick something else and focus on it in your game. Just because if I'm not scoring for 5 or 10 games, well, be the fastest player on the ice or be the best playmaker or be the best PKer. It doesn't matter. If you're not showing up in the score sheet, it doesn't mean you're not a good hockey player. So it's, yeah, people need to get over it. Just, well, seriously, it's, yeah, just, yeah, pick something else and be the best at that.
So. See, and I tend to believe in both of those theories that A, it's in his head, and B, yeah, go be better at something else than mm-hmm. what you are right now. Mm-hmm. Because if the goals aren't going in, you're still a good passer, you still can back check, you can still play defense.
Yep.
It doesn't affect everything else. It just affects a number on a website or on a sheet at the end of the day. Yep. So
he just needs to score a goal.
get the gorilla off his back.
Just one, and then everything will be better. I mean, yeah, it's like they said, in the head. I think, yeah, I agreed. He's in a scoring slump, but he's also not doing a lot of other things he should be doing. And I think if he can just improve on those other things that he should be doing, like his defensive play and his skating and his forecheck and whatever else, people won't look at the goal so much as if he's doing other things right. I think it's just the goals have kind of been the thing that's broken the camel's back here with everybody, because he has been struggling on defense and he has been struggling back checking and he has been struggling in a lot of aspects of the game. So the fact that he's not scoring is just putting everything into perspective right now. So if he scores a goal, everyone will forget, but I still think he needs to improve on a lot of other aspects in his game too. So.
Everyone may forget, but I'm sure that'll be brought up for the next week about how he's got one goal in the last 7 weeks.
And then he'll score 11 goals in 3 games.
Yeah, exactly. It'll go back to normal. So he'll be fine.
He just needs to score a goal. That's just get it over with.
Going to give you guys, we've got about 3 minutes to go here. Going to give you guys the soapbox. Make your plea. How many people do you want out this weekend or next weekend to see your games? Because we're doing what we can to help you guys. I mean, I know both of you were retweeting my tweet today about about the having people out. And
how many people
had a good time?
Phlegm?
According to the ice, 1,400 is the limit. So
1,400's the limit, eh?
Mm. Well, that's how many season tickets they're selling. So that's what they're they're expecting some walk up. But they said 1,400 is comfortably what they figure they can fit. So if you want 1,400,
legally,
I don't know what the legal amount is. If that's fire code, that's fire code. Whatever.
You got
2.5 minutes now if you want to make a plea for people to come out and watch your games, because it's going to be rockin' hockey.
You know what? I understand that it's not the finals yet, but just the atmosphere that that the fans created, whether it's our family and friends in the stands and other Bison athletes, that's what made Can West Finals memorable for me last year. It was a way different experience, Can West, in comparison to winning in London, just because London, it was their home crowd. And then, so you win, and then you look in the stands, and it's, yes, it's your close family and friends, right? But it's huge when you know the people in the stands, and they're cheering for you. And, it'll be a great series, and we hope to have a ton of people out again just to support us. We're going to hopefully win two games and then head off to the Can West Finals in Alberta. So,
You're assuming it's going to be in Alberta? Maybe Mountain Royal will come here. Maybe Saskatchewan will come here. Who knows?
Yeah, you're right. Anyway. it'll be some great games, and I'm really excited for it. So,
yep, I think I can stay the same. Trying to go on one last playoff run as a Bison. Bison athlete, and I think it would be huge to just have as many fans out there as possible. It's so fun to play in front of a big crowd. So, you know, the support is unreal, and the atmosphere is just so much fun. So, yeah, if we can pack the phlegm, that would be great.
7 p.m. on Friday, 7 p.m. on Saturday, 4 p.m. not necessary on Sunday, because you guys are going to win the first two, so it doesn't really matter. But if it is necessary, 4 p.m. on Sunday. We will have the games on 101.5 UMFM live over the radio again, so you guys will get the full Monty in terms of having full radio coverage. If you can't make it down, there's no excuse not to make it down since it's a week away, so get yourself get your schedule cleared, get down here. We're going to give away tickets this week. I'm going to set it up right now. So for those who don't know, again, the top line graduating this year, Kostenko, Keane, and Kirkup all graduating. All you need to do is send an email to UMFM with the total number of points they've scored in their careers. All three of them combined.
Okay.
We will draw from there for a Bell Let's Talk Toque and two tickets to next Friday's game. So if you're looking to come down, you want to get some free tickets, hit the email, get onto umfm.com, send us an email right away, and we will pick a winner early next week for that. There will also be tickets given away next week on my Twitter account all week long. Thankfully, Bison Sports has said, yeah, you can give away a pile of tickets, so we're going to make sure that we at least get 10 more fans in there than normal. So I don't know how many pairs they're going to give me at the end of the day, so I may have to pay for a few, but whatever. One way or the other, though, if you want to go to the games, though, watch Twitter next week at TeebsHBIC. I'll have a whole bunch of contests on there to win. But again, if you want to go to the game on Friday for sure, email UMFM with the answer to this question. How many points do Kostenko, Keane, and Kirkup have in their careers, in their U sports careers combined? You know that answer, fire it in. We'll get you to the game next week after we do the draw. Ladies, time's up. Want to thank you for coming in. It's been awesome. Lauren, you got to stop by more often. I know you don't have much time left, but...
Oh, I'll be here again.
All right, that's good.
We're here every Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, door's always open. Yeah. Krista knows that. She drops by every now and then. Just, hey, guys, what's up?
Not announced.
That's okay. We invite her in. She does well. So I'm going to get out of here for another week, though. If we don't see you next week, best of luck. Well, I'll see you on Friday regardless. But best of luck this week with practice. Obviously, get everything ready, and we'll get it done next week in terms of going to the final again, playing for the banner.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
No, yes, thank you guys.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Always welcome. You guys know you're never going to get a no from us in terms of coming on. So with that, Beans, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
I guess we're in studio next week.
We are in
not
studio
in Crystal
next
City,
week.
But
we
will
not. No. We may have more senior players coming on next week.
There you go.
So we'll see.
just before.
We'll see.
Before the series.
Before the series starts, we'll get to get some more ideas. With that, we're going to get out of here with the RKL's Relentless off their new album again. Thanks for tuning in on Thursday night here on 101.5 UMFM. It is the Hockey Show. We'll see you next week. Touch, you ever heard of a finger roll? Little sun, little raindrop. And you watch this thing grow. Follow me like a firefly. At midnight in mid-July. Mix of blood and sweat and tears of joy. That's what I call the rally cry. Relentless.